This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America. It's a privilege to be with you every single morning and especially on this Wednesday in the octave of Easter. Don't forget that as Catholics, we can continue to say Happy Easter all week long during this octave of Easter as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is such a huge feast that one day just can't contain it. Today is also day five of the Divine Mercy Novena in preparation for Divine Mercy Sunday, established by St. John Paul II, the Pope of Mercy. Join Father Rocky and Divine Mercy expert Drew Mariani for a special Divine Mercy Sunday broadcast at 3 p.m. Central this coming Sunday, the 24th. This live event includes exposition of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and an opportunity for you to call in with your prayer intention so you can continue to prepare your hearts and minds for God's graces this special day, the Feast of Mercy. Join us this Sunday, the 24th, 3 p.m. Central, the Hour of Mercy here on Relevant Radio, on our Relevant Radio mobile app, and at relevantradio.com/divinemercy. Today is incredibly day 56 of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. I want to bring in our very own Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what is the latest this hour?
John, things looking very dire in the city of Mariupol, a port city that's important for Russia in their attempt to bridge the difference between the areas they control in the east and down towards Crimea. The Ukrainian fighters say they are not going to give up and will fight to the last. Many still in that steel plant in Mariupol that's been bombarded by the Russians. Many civilians still holding out there as well. So things do look tough. There's been a call, John, from the UN for a ceasefire on this Orthodox Holy Week, the Russian Orthodox calendar behind our Western calendar. But Russia says they're not interested in that at all, John.
Well, it's not surprising they ignored the Holy Father's call for an Easter ceasefire for the Catholic celebration of Easter last weekend, and they're doing the same with this Holy Week and the Orthodox Easter, which is coming up this coming Sunday. On another front, the mask mandates continue to still be in the news and still be in the air.
Yeah, a little bit in the air, and in the air is where a lot of them went away with a judge on Monday ruling that in travel situations, masks no longer necessary. So most airlines doing away with that, although some airports still requiring them until everyone gets on the same page. Might be best to bring a mask along. Different entities ruling differently on this, but more and more gradually repealing those mask mandates. The CDC says, well, we're still deciding if it's necessary, and they'll have the Justice Department appeal this ruling if they see that more masking is indeed the way to go, John.
Well, I know that this is a hot topic for a lot of folks. Our country seems to be split 50-50, and we're going to talk a little bit more in a moment about the divide in our country about so many different issues, including the mask mandates. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, and we especially continue to pray for peace in Ukraine, as we've been doing now for 56-plus days, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God and uniting ourselves to the Holy Father's consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Colossians 3, 1 and 2. The Apostle St. Paul writes, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Alleluia. Jesus the Lord is truly risen. Alleluia. As Catholics, because we've been baptized into Christ, we've also died with him. We've been raised up with Jesus to share his glorious resurrection, and we must live a risen life with him. Let us be intent on the things above rather than the things of earth, as St. Paul reminds us. Let's celebrate the 50-day Easter season by immersing ourselves in God's word and in the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our risen Christ. And we always pray with great confidence the prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. A number if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as we approach the end of this month of April, our country continues to be divided. There's no doubt about that. We continue to be divided on the issue of mask mandates, as we talked about a moment ago, on the issue of abortion, crime and the police, educating our children, transgender and gay marriage issues, and so much more. Listen to the audio from an Edify video called Why is the Political Divide Worsening? By former U.S. Congressman Dan Lipinski.
Polls show that Americans across the political spectrum believe the divide in our nation is a serious threat. Why does it seem so serious? After all, we've had these same two parties contesting elections for more than 150 years. But today, the nature of partisanship has changed for many Americans. Our culture presents us with a choice of two possible political identities, each with a set of beliefs on a wide variety of topics, from tax policy to the nature of human persons. Once we make a choice, we are told we must conform to every belief or risk banishment from the group as a heretic.
And that is a very powerful video from a site called Edify on why is the political divide worsening by former U.S. Congressman Dan Lipinski, who is scheduled to join us here this morning. We're having a little bit of an issue contacting him this morning. So I want to bring in my partner, Glenn. Glenn, you know, you've seen it firsthand, all these different things that I just finished mentioning. I mean, we talked about it at the beginning here on the mask mandates. Our country has continued to be divided in so many different ways. And obviously, this cannot continue if we're going to be one nation under God.
No, and John, you might agree too. It seems worse than it has been. You know, there's always been some discord, and we hear back in the 60s and 70s, those in Congress would disagree heartily on the floor of the Senate or the House, and then go out for steaks and cigars afterwards and try and figure some things out and get some things done. And we don't have that kind of personal interaction still going on anymore. And then the disagreements, we can't seem to disagree in a civil manner anymore. But I think if we really try and hope to change the other guy's opinion, the other lady's opinion, we need to try and do so in a civil way, and just completely camping out and not being willing to discuss anything in a civil manner is going to be make it very difficult to change anyone's mind, John.
Glenn, why do you think that the issue of mask mandates is so polarizing, so emotional? So many people have so many different opinions. It seems like half the country is split on just this very issue. I mean, we see that even after a federal judge rules and says that we don't have to do the mandates anymore, people are still insistent, and there's a lot of confusion, as you reported at the top of the hour in the news about these mandates.
Well, John, I think when COVID first came out, we didn't know exactly what we were dealing with, and there was some fear involved there, and we learned a little more, and then we still didn't learn enough, and it kept changing. So it was kind of a tricky thing to nail down. And along the way, with the truth of the fact it really was a real disease causing real problems, it did get kind of weaponized by both sides politically. And then people used the mask almost as a symbol of their political affiliation. And, you know, when we're really just trying to keep people safe, I think. But very interesting how everything gets politicized anymore.
Absolutely. And probably nothing gets politicized more than the issue of life, the issue of abortion in this country. That's one that really has polarized our country now for going on almost 50 years since Roe v. Wade. And now with the possibility that Roe v. Wade may actually get overturned, there seems to be so much pushback from the other side. And it continues to be such a polarizing issue in our country.
You know, it used to be that politicians, you know, had a position on abortion, but they didn't want to have to publicly state what it is. And then suddenly in the 2016 election, it became something that was content and debate. And you had a very stark contrast between Clinton and Trump there, which was interesting to see. But if it can bring up the conversation publicly, I'm all for the sign of life getting more opportunities to talk about saving lives.
Well, Glenn, I always love to get your perspective. You have such a rich storied news perspective, having been in the business for so many years. So it's good to get your take. And the good news is that our good friend Dan Lipinski, the former congressman, is with us on the line. Folks, let me just tell you real quickly a little bit about Dan. He's a pro-life Democrat who spent 16 years in Congress serving in the U.S. House of Representatives, representing the Illinois 3rd District. He has a PhD in political science and is currently serving on the Advisory Council of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. He runs Lipinski Solutions, which is a consulting company. Congressman Lipinski, welcome back to Morning Air. Happy Easter. It's great to be with you.
Happy Easter to you, John, and to the entire audience.
Well, you know, before we talk about the political divide, as a longtime former congressman, I wanted to get your perspective on what your Catholic faith means to you personally, especially during this octave of Easter.
Well, it is especially important time to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and it's going through the 40 days of Lent, I think most of us usually find that we don't prepare in the way that we always have plans and hopes to prepare for Easter, but we do go through our sacrifices during Lent and remember all that. Remember the really unbelievable, remarkable truth that God came down to us, took our form, and then, you know, gave himself up, was crucified. And I think a lot of people, I was just listening to a podcast about talking about crucifixion, and I think a lot of people don't understand that was the most awful, most humiliating possible way for someone to be killed. And the fact that our God was willing to do that for us is something I don't think we can ever really completely truly appreciate, but we must try and keep praying to God for that understanding and of what that means that we must do, what we are called to do for him. So it's really, you know, a lot of times Easter gets lost in all these other everything else going on and spring coming. But we have to remember what it really is all about.
Well, I've always been inspired and uplifted by your example of someone who has really tried to follow his Catholic faith and also your pro-life beliefs during all those years in Congress. You recently have done some wonderful videos on the Edify site. Talk to us about why the political divide seems to be increasing at such an alarming rate.
Well, it's a lot of people talk about the divide being tribalism and talk about, you know, the increase in the divide. What people are really sensing, and you know, public opinion polls show that people are much, much more concerned now about what this divide means for the country. But the reason is that our political partisanship now has become sectarian. It is a moralized identification, not for everybody, but for many people. In the way that, you know, each side has its own, you know, pseudo-puritanical sort of issues, issue positions, from everything from taxes to the nature of human beings. And each side is held together, you know, worst of all, by contempt for the other side. And that's why it seems so dangerous to us right now, because it is. It is a real danger to our country. And this is something that they can't continue. Our government was, you know, I used to teach American government, and our government was set up to require compromise. And neither side will compromise. And when I say compromise, I'm not saying give up on principles, but you can keep your principles, but compromise on, you know, on various issues. But even things, look, we saw how hard it was to pass a transportation bill, a bill to fund transportation infrastructure last year. And those types of issues should not become these great partisan divides. They should be things that we can come together for the country to pass.
Congressman Lipinski, just in the last 24, 48 hours, there's been a lot of talk about the mask mandates. Obviously, the immigration crisis for weeks and months has been in the news. Obviously, with Roe v. Wade possibly being overturned, the issue of abortion has been causing divisiveness. What do you think is causing all this divisiveness from when we look at just these current events that I just mentioned?
Well, again, everything becomes politicized for one thing. All the issues that you mentioned, I think, you know, there's going to be disagreements. People will have disagreements over, you know, what to do on immigration. But there are, you know, I watched during my 16 years in Congress, essentially nothing was done, which in essence became a, you choose to do nothing, you are actually, you know, you're choosing a policy. That doing nothing is a policy, but it's a policy of neglect, and not, you know, coming up with a solution that, you know, if we're talking about immigration, illegal immigration, both making sure that we protect against illegal immigration, but also being being welcoming for legal immigrants. And, you know, these are very difficult, become very difficult issues, but they're things that we should be able to talk about and talk through. And not just, I mean, that's the biggest problem right now is on both sides, you have people who don't want to solve a problem, don't want to work towards the common good. What they're interested in is my side winning in the next election. And that is not any way to run a country. And again, we are called to serve the common good. And we have to be willing in our republic to compromise to in order to do that in find principle compromises.
We're joined this morning live by Dan Lipisky, former congressman and pro-life Democrat. Dan, can you talk about our Catholic faith and how our faith can guide us and help us to make the right decision when it comes to some of these big issues that we've been talking about?
Well, I think a lot of Catholics don't realize what a gift that we have. We not only have Scripture, but we have 2,000 years of really rich, deep thought on how we take what we have been taught by Jesus and put that into practice. And as Catholics, Catholicism is not just a personal religion. It's about doing what we are called to do as Catholics, to serve God, to praise God. But it's also about being called to serve the common good, as I mentioned earlier. And we have very clearly set out what we should be thinking about, who we need to be thinking about, what we need to be thinking about when it comes to serving the common good, doing what we can to support, take care of families, the poor, workers, God's creation. And while, there are commonly, seven themes of Catholic social teaching, for the most part, they don't tell us exactly what policies to support. They're just telling us, for example, we need to really consider what we are called to do and what role do we want government to have? What role do we want private sector to have in helping the poor? But the one thing in Catholic social teaching, the one theme, the dignity of the individual, that points specifically to needing to support the right to life, needing to oppose abortion and oppose euthanasia and other things that directly take away the right to life. That is in that theme under, it's a basis for everything else, because without life, you have nothing. And so that's very clear as Catholics that we need to be pro-life and against euthanasia. Everything else doesn't mean we can just ignore them. Doesn't mean we can ignore the poor or policies that support families. Just because the church isn't telling us what exactly to do, what policies to support or to oppose, we really need to think. We need to pray, to reason, and figure out what we think is the best way to support those themes of Catholic social teaching. So that's what we are all called to do as Catholics.
Well, thank you so much, Congressman, for your Catholic witness, your pro-life witness. You've been living it for so long. I so much appreciate you coming on with us here this morning. Happy Easter, Congressman Dan Lipisky.
Happy Easter, John. And you can find me on Twitter at Dan Lipisky, too, and online at danlipisky.com.
Appreciate it. Many blessings to you. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Professor Harry Kramer will be with us to discuss the meaning of Easter joy for everyday life. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this. Christ is risen. He is truly risen indeed. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverenz. Thanks so much for joining us on this Easter Wednesday. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. That is from Psalm 118, which is heard in the responsorial psalms during Mass during this octave of Easter. Now, as we've been talking about all this week, Easter is more than just a day. The Catholic Church gives us this octave of Easter and a 50-day season to celebrate the joy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, sometimes in our everyday lives, it's not that easy to celebrate, especially when you have illnesses in the family, a loss of a job, disappointments in different relationships. There's many different things that can be challenges so that we don't feel particularly joyful, even though we're here in this season of joy. How can we truly live the joy of Easter every day? Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Joining us now is our Morning Air regular contributor, Professor Harry Kramer, with much more on Easter joy for everyday life. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and is an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Good morning, Professor Harry. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Happy Easter, John. Great to be with you.
Let's talk about joy. Why is the Easter season called this season, this time of joy?
Well, I think you said it very well, John. At the end of the day, when you think about Easter, thinking about it as one day is a little crazy. I mean, when you think about, you know, Jesus coming on the earth, dying for all of us, rising from the dead, I mean, what an incredible joy, how blessed we are to be Christians. And the idea and focus on really not getting busy, not getting caught up totally in everything else we've got to deal with, the work, the children, the running around, the groceries. We got to do all those things. But taking the time each and every day to really celebrate, really truly celebrate what this means in our lives, I think is what being Catholic and being Christian is all about. And finding little ways to do that each and every day. And I would argue not just for the octave of 50 days, I would think of it as 365 days. We're so fortunate, we're so blessed. Let's make sure we take the time never to forget that.
And obviously, we're celebrating the greatest event, the greatest mystery, and the greatest event of all time, really. The greatest miracle is what I'm trying to say of all time, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be really joyful deep down in our hearts when we recognize this truth, not only this week, but for this entire Easter season.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ways to do it, John. And I'm sure maybe some of our callers will give their views, but I look at it as one simple way of just showing a lot of gratitude. You know, every day, whether you do your personal self-examination, whatever you do to actually say, well, what am I grateful for? You know, yes, there are problems. Yes, there are challenges. You know, that's why we're on trial on this earth rather than being in heaven. But, you know, to actually being grateful for, what are the things that I have been very fortunate and blessed despite all the issues, despite the fact that, I may have gotten COVID, or I may have lost my job, or I may have issues with my children. What am I truly grateful for? And how do I take the time to really thank Jesus for everything he's done for me and my family and my loved ones?
This psalm today and every day during this octave, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It's a really beautiful scripture that reminds us every day is important. Every day is a reason to rejoice, and especially here in this season.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Not only does doing this be meaningful to remind me of what I do, but by doing that and being joyful, you know, I can obviously impact every single person that I come in contact with. And I think that's what we're really called to do, particularly, John, those of us that are lay people. Because, you know, very often my uncle, who was a priest, who died many years ago, but he always reminded me that, you know, yes, he can impact a lot of people. But he said, you know, most of the people I impact are the people who come to church every day. And, you know, what I would like you to do as my nephew is whatever you do, whether you're in business, whether you're in law, whether you're a teacher, you know, if you can really bring Christ to every person that you interact with by the example that you set and the joy that you have, you know, you probably don't bring a lot of people to Jesus if you're mumbling and complaining and the glass is half empty. But if you're really joyful, and I like to think of it, John, you know, that my glass isn't half full. My glass is overflowing, okay, because we have Jesus. And to be able to demonstrate that, I think, has an enormous impact on the other folks that we can bring to Jesus.
Can you explain to us the difference between joy and happiness? I think that, you know, so oftentimes the two can be confused, you know, joy versus happiness.
Yeah, well, I always say, John, you know, opinions rather than answers. But to me, there is an enormous difference because, you know, happiness is sort of almost sometimes, oh, I'm happy. You've made me happy. I've got a present. There's almost to me, John, almost a certain selfishness when I think about I want to be happy, but because it almost seems to me kind of like self-centered in some way, as opposed to when I think of joyful, I think of what I'm spreading way beyond myself to Julie, to the children, to every single person that I interact with. You know, I was actually talking to a colleague of mine yesterday. Who just is taking on another job and got promoted. And I wanted to call him right away just to let him know, wow, you know, I'm really proud of you. That's fantastic. And just spreading joy to others, in my mind, is what we're all about. And interestingly enough, they do get tied together because by spreading joy, okay, that can actually make you happy. But it is not, that's not the... was an old math major, John. It's not the independent variable. It's the conclusion that I could be happy as a result of spreading joy.
Professor Harry, you know I'm a former sportscaster and one of my favorite people in the whole professional Major League Baseball world is Mike Sweeney, and he once told me when we were talking about joy and happiness that he said happiness is hitting a 3-run walk-off home run to win the game, and you're happy and you're rounding the bases and everybody's cheering, but it's fleeting. After the game, it's over. He said joy is knowing you have our Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and that's something that lasts, and that's something that's interior, and it's not fleeting like a 3-run homer.
That's a great way of saying it, John. It's a great way of saying it. It's what you're able to do that has a long-term impact, not of, oh, okay, well, I'm happy I got a candy bar. Now the candy bar is gone. Now I'm not happy. Okay, no. Joy is an ongoing thing that we share because of our relationship with Christ.
Well, I want to bring in our listeners. If you want to share your own experiences of Easter joy in everyday life, you want to be part of this conversation that we're having about the importance of joy here during the octave and the season of Easter, or perhaps you might even have a question or comment for Professor Harry Kramer on ways to celebrate joy here in Easter every day. We're taking your call. Calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Are you overflowing with joy during this Easter season? Give us a call. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Professor Harry Kramer. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Hallelujah. Alleluia. Absolutely love these Easter hymns. We are an Easter people. We're talking about Easter joy in everyday life, ways that we can celebrate the joy of this Easter octave and the Easter season every single day. If you want to be part of the conversation, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'm John Morales. Once again, thanks for being with us this morning on this Easter Wednesday. Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, is with us. Harry, welcome back.
Great to be with you, John, always.
Harry, can you share with us some practical ways that we might be able to really continue to experience joy here during this Easter season?
I guess the way I think about it constantly is how what I do can impact others. And sharing it with my family. Judy likes to every single day, say a rosary. And so I try to join her in doing that. She will not go to bed at night without doing the rosary. And sometimes I literally will say, hey, honey, it's kind of late. And she'll say, well, it's late, but this will only take me 15, 16 minutes. I can listen in on one of the ones from Father Rocky. So by personally doing that, encouraging the children to participate in that, I think that's a great family way to do it. And then as I said earlier, in my mind, it's making sure that everybody that I come in contact with through my behavior, through the joy that I show, the love I show toward others, they're constantly, well, why do you feel like that? Why is the glass overflowing? And then it gives me the opportunity to talk about my faith and the difference it has in my life. Because I really do believe the world we're living in now, John, that ends up becoming so unbelievably secular, so focused on social media, and where everybody's running around, we forget the difference between activity and productivity. Why are we here? What is our purpose? You know, do we realize that this is all just and we're just passing through here in a blink of an eye, and are we preparing ourselves and as many people as possible for life with Christ beyond this world? And I think it's very, very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. So it's constantly remembering that and what I'm doing through my example. That's what I try to do.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you want to share what joy means to you during the season of Easter. We had a caller that couldn't hang on that asked the question, what's the difference between happiness and pleasure? Professor, your take.
Oh, boy. I guess I think of pleasure, again, as sort of a short-term phenomenon. I can have pleasure in something and someone says, well, no, but that doesn't please me. Well, just because it doesn't please me doesn't mean that I can't be happy or I can't be joyful, right? It's sort of like, I'm not pleased by the fact I got to take the garbage out, okay? Well, you know what, though? If that makes Julie happy, if that's an example of something I'm showing that I'm helping with the family work around the house, I think that can make me happy, even though there's not a pleasure in it.
You mentioned gratitude, perhaps the opposite, to be ungrateful. Can you talk about crucifying our selfishness and our entitlement or our lack of love and sympathy? How can we do that and really just, get rid of it here during this Easter season?
Well, to me, that comes very, very easily when I think of what Jesus did for us. Okay. So if I'm having a bad day or something isn't working out, okay. I go to a Cubs game and I think, oh, this will be a lot of fun. And I realize it's snowing and it's 25 degrees. Well, guess what? Compared to what Jesus did for us, I have absolutely nothing to complain about. I actually kind of think, given what he did for us, and given what we have to look forward to, Why would I complain about anything? Why would I be ungrateful? Now we're all human. There's a temptation to do that. But then I guess, again, you always have to ask yourself, and my uncle, who is a priest, used to say, hey, what are you complaining about? I mean, we have Christ in our lives. Why should we be complaining? And then he'd always sort of push, John, and here is one, I don't know if we've mentioned in the past, but it always had a big impact on me. He'd always literally say, hey, you may say you're Christian, But are you really Catholic? And then he used to like tease us, and he'd say, hey, if you ever got accused If you ever got accused in court of being a Christian and being Catholic, could you ever be found guilty? Is there enough evidence, John, that you really are, other than just saying the words? And I think that's a problem today. There's a lot of people, you know, that walk around and say they're Christian, but really, really? You're walking around, you're ungrateful, you're complaining, you're not spreading the joy. Could you be found guilty of being a Christian? I think it's a great question. My uncle used to ask me.
Well, we have Margaret joining us this morning from Staten Island, New York. Margaret, happy Easter. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Professor Harry.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. My Easter story is bittersweet. I was at Mass in the morning with my developmentally disabled brother, and the priest's homily was asking, why are you here? You could be so many other places. And why are you in church today? And my brother, who isn't very verbal, he called out love. And the priest heard him and understood him. And then he said, love who? And my brother yelled out, God. And I was so proud of him because I was just amazed that he probably did more evangelization in those two words, you know, than many homilies do. And I was proud of him. We went home. We had Easter dinner. And during Easter dinner, we received a call that another brother died of a heart attack on his way to Easter dinner. So my Easter joy was short-lived. And I just asked for prayers for our family.
Thank you, Margaret. Obviously, you're going to be in our prayers. And Professor, this can be joy and at the same time a very difficult time for some folks.
Yeah. And Margaret, so thank you so much for sharing. And as John said, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for both of your brothers. And obviously, he's now with God and with Jesus. And, you know, we'll think of you. We'll think of him. And, you know, just realize that that Jesus is with us. And, you know, sometimes there'll be difficult periods, but as Father Rocky always reminds me, he's always with us. He's always there. He's always beside you. So may God bless you and your family.
And keep trusting in the Lord. Just pray, Jesus, I trust in you. And he's with you no matter how difficult the situation. Thanks so much, Margaret. We go to Chicago. Kathy is joining us. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Professor Harry Kramer.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm on the road. But what I'd like to say is my daughter and I teach CCD. And one thing I noticed about teaching seventh graders that who are in the public schools, they're inundated with all these news programs through CNN and other things. So teaching the boundary of the faith was really important for us because of the things that these kids were believing and confused by. But all I wanted to say was we had a lot of kids with a lot of needs in our classes. And I don't think people realize that with the CCD programs, you're getting a lot of students that have those needs. And a lot of it is disclarity. So what I wanted to say was I noticed in my daughter, more so than I, she was very patient and did one-on-one with a lot of them. And I learned a lot from my daughter's patience, where I was the one that was more emphatic about what our boundaries are as Catholics. So just wanted to mention that.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Professor?
Well, first of all, Kathy, thank you. Thank you so much for teaching CCD. That is a gift to all of these students, particularly a lot of these students that don't have other opportunities to really learn about Christ and what he's done for us and the joy that John's talking about. So you taking the time, again, in your busy life and your daughter to actually do this, this is so terribly needed, particularly for children in public schools that, you know, they got exposed to a whole lot of things that we didn't get exposed to when we were children and young adults. And so doing that, in my mind, is an enormous opportunity. And probably we ought to be encouraging, John, more and more people with strong faith to teach CCD, because boy, oh boy, given the world we're in, we definitely need more people like Kathy.
No question about it. It is so needed. Thanks so much, Kathy. Professor Myhart, one final last thought. Without the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says you cannot say that Jesus is Lord. We need to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to help us really experience that joy of Easter here during this octave and the Easter season. Thanks so much for being with us, Professor Harry.
As always, it's a blessing, John. You take care, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. You take good care.
Happy Easter to you. Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and a Morning Air regular contributor. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called They Wouldn't Give Up by Nofel Stanton. Johnny Fulton was run over by a car at the age of 3. He suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, a fractured skull, compound fractures in his legs. It did not look as if he'd live, but he would not give up. In fact, he later ran the half mile in less than 2 minutes. Walt Davis was totally paralyzed by polio when he was 9, but did not give up. He became the Olympic high jump champ in 1952. Shelley Mann was paralyzed by polio when she was 5, but would not give up. She eventually claimed 8 different swimming records for the U.S. and won a gold in the 1956 Olympics. In 1938, Karoly Tashish, a member of Hungary's world champ pistol shooting team and a sergeant in the army, lost his right hand when a grenade he was holding exploded. But Tashish did not give up. He learned to shoot left-handed. He won gold medals in 1948 and 1952 at the Olympics. Lou Gehrig was such a clumsy ball player that the boys in his neighborhood would not let him play on their team. But he was committed. He did not give up. Eventually, his name was entered into baseball's Hall of Fame. Woodrow Wilson could not read till he was 10, but he was a committed person. He became 28th President of the United States. At the age of 7, he had to go to work to help support his family. At 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. At 23, he went into debt and became a partner in a small store. At 26, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt. At the age of 35, he'd been defeated twice when running for a seat in Congress. At the age of 37, he won the election. At 39, he lost his re-election bid. At 41, his 4-year-old son died. At 42, he was rejected for a land officer role. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he was defeated for the nomination for vice president. At 49, he ran for Senate and lost again. At the age of 51, he was elected president of the United States. But during his second term of office, he was assassinated. His name lives on, though, among the greats in U.S. history, President Abraham Lincoln. Hebrews 12:1 reminds us, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
I love it, Glenn. Thanks so much. We should never give up. Always stay in the game of life. Let's also continue to pray to the Mother of God for peace and an end to the war in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the Rosary of Father Rocky and the Family Rosary across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight. And pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy, 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon. It's day 5 of the Novena of Divine Mercy as we prepare for Divine Mercy Sunday. And that'll do it for this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverins, for producers Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the whole Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. Patrick Madrid is up next.